Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for today. We praise you for today. Today is the day of victory for us. Today is the day the Lord hath made, and we rejoice and be glad in it. We praise you for the overcoming power of the Word of God in this nation. It's wonderful to know you and to know that our bodies are healed and that this nation is healed and in the process of being healed. Thank you for that, sir. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Join me in welcoming Don and Mary Colbert to this broadcast today. I tell you, you guys are so important to our lives for years and years and years and years. And how long have we been together? I mean,
20 years, probably at least. At least.
Well, how old is Kyle?
Kyle's 35.
Well, okay, oh, we've been together 35 years.
35 years, you're right.
Because I held him
That's
in
right,
my
you
arms.
Held him as a baby. That's right.
Yeah. So I knew you before that.
I know.
I didn't meet you that day.
That's right.
That's true. I remember Mary Colbert calling me and telling me, I mean, when she's telling me about it on the telephone, I mean, I just stood there with my mouth hung open. What? Glory be to Jesus.
Amen.
Now, hey guys, Mary Colbert, before she was Mary Colbert, what was your maiden name?
Holland.
Colbert's better. She designed him.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Before she ever knew him.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait, where do you get in this book? But my favorite chapter in the whole book is the third chapter, the principle of faith that excites God. That one got me.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
That's where I live. And that one, I mean, that grabbed hold of me. So let's go to we have two texts that I'd like for us to read that describe faith that excites God. One, is in the 8th chapter of Matthew, and let's look at the 5th verse. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy. Palsy is paralysis. Grievously tormented. Jesus said unto him, I will. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, another come, and he comes. My servant do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. That faith excited him.
Mm-hmm.
He marveled. And said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. And the disciples were standing there with him. And this man was not a Jew.
Amen.
He's
Amen.
A Roman soldier. Oh, son. Then we'll go to Matthew chapter 15, 21 through 28. Now, this is the Syrophoenician woman. She's a Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus went thence and departed unto the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David. So she heard of him. She knew he was Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
She called him son of David. That's a key word with Jesus.
Amen.
She called him son of David. She called him Messiah. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us. And he, excuse me, he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered and said, it is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She said, that's true, Lord. Faith is determined.
Amen.
She's not going to take no for an answer.
And not offended, too.
No, not she's offended. Not a bit offended.
Amen.
You can call her a dog, anything mm-hmm. else. She came here to get this. Amen. She's not touchy.
Amen.
Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is her faith excited him. Great is your faith. Mm-hmm. Be it unto thee even as you will.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Excited faith.
Praise God.
Now, he also, in his own hometown, marveled at their unbelief. Mm-hmm. I don't want that. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Now, it's your turn. Well, I've said all I'm going to say. I want to hear this whole story
well,
again.
You've heard it, yeah. 2014 kind of set the for the book. In 2014, Christmas Day night, I had been cooking, you know, doing the thing that moms do on Christmas Day. And I went to bed, and I was exhausted. I was bone tired, you know. And Don keeps our bedroom dark. It's black.
And I was asleep.
And he was sound asleep. Everybody's asleep except Kyle. Kyle, my son Kyle, is still up in the living room, and everybody else is in bed, and I couldn't wait to get to the bed. And I get in there, feel my way through the bedroom, get in the bed, and all I know is I do not remember my head hitting the pillow. I really don't. Because the room suddenly lit up like it was day.
And this was midnight. Right?
Midnight. And I thought, it can't be day already. That was the first thought that went through my head. Amen. Then the second thought that went through my head was a voice was speaking. And at first, I thought it was Brother Kenneth. I thought I had left the radio on. I thought I had left the TV on. Because when he gets under that anointing, that authority that booms through his voice, you can hear the very presence of Amen. God suddenly taking over. You know, mm-hmm. y'all all know yes, what yes. I'm talking about. He don't know what we're talking about because he's the vessel. But we've heard it. Yes. We've been there. Amen. And we know when that presence comes. I get chills talking about it.
Yes.
You?
Oof,
I got
yes.
goosebumps just talking about that. That presence comes through him and it shakes you. You know he's there and he's come upon him and he's speaking through him. Y'all all know what I'm
yes.
talking about.
Amen.
So at that moment, I thought I had left a radio on because I thought it was him talking because this voice came through and said, Mary.
Say it like it spoke to you in the tone. Come on, project it out.
I don't know if it can come through. He said, Mary, you have been summoned by me. And when he said me, every cell in my body shook like a windowpane on a hurricane.
Vibrated, vibration.
I could feel every cell in my trembling
Amen.
At the sound of his voice. And then I recognized by the time the me came, it wasn't Brother Kenneth. I was hearing the Father. The Holy Spirit was allowing me to hear the Father's voice. And I equate in the book a little bit, and I don't want people to think I've gone way off, but I understand, I have a small understanding why it took Moses 40 days to
if
get
you're
10
off,
commandments.
We're going with you. We want to be off that way too.
Yeah. I fully get why he was up there 40 mm-hmm. days to just get 10 commandments. The presence, the voice, that power, you can't handle it much. It just is so powerful. And he began to tell me, I command you to teach my people these five principles of faith. And he said, get a pen and a pad and write this down. And he just continued to talk. And the first principle was faith. Your faith must be in constant motion.
Mm-hmm.
If your faith is not in constant motion, it's dead. Mm-hmm. Dead. So for those of you that have quit dreaming, you've quit believing, this book is for you. People have quit praying and quit believing because they live their life under experiences. Your prayers haven't worked. You have prayed and they didn't work. So you become discouraged and more discouraged to the point prayer is not that important. And prayer should be the single most important thing in every believer's life. And I'm praying that this book will reactivate your prayers, and your prayers will shift in a whole different way than you've ever thought about prayer before. So much about prayer, Brother Kenneth, has been lost because the disciples fell asleep. And because they fell asleep, a lot did not get recorded. And many things that Jesus did, he went off alone and prayed.
Right.
So his disciples...
He prayed all night long before he selected them.
Yes.
He did not sleep that night.
Yes.
He prayed all night long.
Yes.
And then he selected the 12.
Exactly. And there's so much that I feel like the Holy Spirit has brought in revelation to me about prayer, how to pray. One of the things he showed me says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You cannot come into the courts of heaven murmuring, fault-finding, blaming, guilt, shame. That is not how you enter the courts of heaven. When you come into the courts of heaven, you enter with thanksgiving and praise and a sense of appreciation for all that he has done as a child. Not pointing out what you didn't get, not pointing out what he hasn't answered, not trying to remind him, by the way, you know, look down here and see what all I've done and you haven't heard me yet. That you don't enter the courts of heaven with that.
No, ma'am.
You enter with appreciation and humility and thanksgiving with your heart full of praise. And one day, when I went to pray, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me and he says, Mary, tell my people when they come into the courts of heaven, don't bring Satan with them.
Amen.
And I thought, Lord, how are we doing that? He goes, whenever they come into the courts of heaven, if you have aught against anyone, if you've hurt anybody, if you have wounded and you have done any wrong, try to make it right. Now, you may not be able to. They may reject it, but attempt to make that which was wrong right. So that when you come, Jesus taught this, he said, leave your gift at the altar. What's he talking about? He's talking about that presence of coming into his presence. You make sure your heart is right and you cleanse your heart of any ill thoughts toward anybody, anybody. You forgive them. Lord, I forgive them. I cancel the debt. I let it go. Now as a vessel with Jesus full in your heart, you can enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And now, the effectual prayers of the righteous availeth much, right? Well, these are the keys, church. These are some of the keys that when you implement them in your life, you're going to see mountains move.
Yes, amen.
You're going to see miracles occur that people are just in awe of. And I, you know, I didn't know in 2014, I was being set up. You know, he was setting me up for, to stand in faith and to believe for something and that my heart be pure and clean toward all men in every way. It doesn't mean that everybody loves Mary Colbert. I've got as many enemies as I do friends. I know that. That's okay. I love them. I love them. I pray for them. I wish them no ill. I pray that their eyes be open and they come to repentance because that's the will of the Father. And I'm going to line my will up with his will. Amen. It's not my will be done. It's his will be done.
Yes, amen. Glory to God.
You know, and when we line up with his will, and you know this, Brother, more than anybody, thank you, Jesus, for this man, the man of faith that have taught me.
Amen.
Since I went to Rhema. And I used to be as a student when he'd come speak. I planted myself right there on the front row. I'm going to take down everything this man of God had to say. And it was so humbling to me to think as a student from Rhema, I'm sitting here next to the man of God. Now, let me just tell you something. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. Because he sees your intent. He sees your motives. Can't con God. Can't con him. And you can't buy him. He is not for sale. He looks into your heart, sees your motives, sees your intent, and he is the one that will move in your life to bring about promotion. Amen. Promotion cometh from him. Amen. And when your heart is right toward all men, you're not in any offense toward God or man. Amen. And why do I address God? Because we have all had disappointments. I have had disappointments. I've had surprises. I have ahas. We all have. Where things did not work the way we thought. Things aren't working the way we think, right? So we have to walk with an attitude of not being judgment of the King of Kings. You cannot walk with him and think that you can sit in judgment of him. You have to believe and trust his word that he is working all things to your good. Amen. And that's it. Amen. And it's not based upon the circumstances of what it is. Saying, I don't understand it, Lord. I don't understand. I'm not going to lie. You already know I don't understand it. But one thing I do believe, all things work together for Mary Colbert because I believe and trust in you.
Remember what the word said in the book of Proverbs? Lean not to your own understanding.
That's right.
But what?
In all your ways acknowledge him.
And trust him with all your heart.
All your heart. That's right.
I like what Milan Lefevre says. He's honest. God is honest, and you can trust him. His covenant is real, and he's a covenant-keeping God. While you were talking, and the title of the book, Prayer That Changes Everything. Prayer does not make faith work. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Faith makes prayer work.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And it comes, faith works by love.
Mm-hmm.
Faith comes by hearing the word.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So the simple part of prayer, and what I like so much about this book, is every prayer in some way or another should start with this book, because this is the answer to the prayer. You don't start with the question, you start with the answer. Pray the answer, and then your expector is alive.
Someone said to me, Brother Copeland, a few years back, said, what if the Bible wasn't really meant to be studied? What if it was meant to be prayed? And I like that.
Amen.
I thought, man, that just kind of shifts everything about the Word as you read and you pray the Word into your life, in every area of your life. You know, as the promises of God, and know what they are, and you pray them in, irregardless of your circumstances, the Word of God is still the authority,
but then
not your circumstances.
Through the study of it, the revelation comes, and it gets larger and larger. I remember just reading a moment ago, he came to Capernaum. That was his hometown. His headquarters was in Capernaum. And now, every time I see that, it just clicks with me. He went home. Capernaum's where he lived. And so much happened in Capernaum that it was so rich and full. But every time he had the opportunity, he'd go home. Nobody let him rest much, but he'd go home. And one night, he was so interested in getting his men home. They'd toiled, they worked all day hard, and they got out there in the middle of that lake and got into that storm. And he just walked out there and got them. And when he got in the boat, immediately, it was in Capernaum, docked right there. And I saw that. Prayer that changes everything. I saw that, and I said, Lord. And it was just so sweet and kind. He said, Kenneth, I'm no different than you. I wanted to sleep in my own bed. and these men were so tired. They were so tired and weak that I didn't want to see them row another stroke. So I just got them home immediately. Isn't that good?
Yes, amen.
When you see that goodness, and what he was saying to you, and this marvelous, wonderful experience and that produced this very simple but powerful, powerful book that brings faith back alive again.
Praise God.
Continue. I'll just...
I would like to take credit for this, but guys, I can't take credit for this. These five principles came from the throne room to reactivate people in their faith, reactivate their prayer life, and maybe it'll answer some questions as to why, you know, prayers aren't being answered. But I led a national prayer call in the country in 2016 because the Lord, through a series of events, let me know Donald Trump was his choice, but that people needed to begin to pray. And I have become known as one of the ladies that helped Donald Trump get elected, because on the prayer call toward the end, we had over 100,000 people on this
prayer call.
Praise God.
Amen. All yes, over amen. The world, 44 countries. The phone calls, the Nation Builders prayer call just exploded all over. And they made a movie about it, and it's called The Trump Prophecies. This movie is actually going to air October the 8th. So during this airing of this show, October 8th, they are going to air the movie again, Trump Prophecy, and the theaters are going to permit people to gather to pray.
Wow. Praise God.
So this is going, we're trying to promote this as the largest prayer gathering in the country at theaters.
Praise God.
All over the country to begin to pray for this country. But I think this book, when people get a hold of this book prior to the, you know, being able to read it anyway before the gathering, with these five principles, we will see changes in this country unlike we have seen in years and years and years.
Amen.
And one of the things the Lord told me during 2013, he said, Mary, I want you to tell the people the Democratic Party is going to implode. It's going to completely implode because they have left me. He said, I want you to have the people to begin to pray for the Democratic Party. Pray that it will come back to me.
Amen.
Now, this implosion that we are going to see happen, that's exactly what God wants us to do, to begin to pray now, because he's got people in there.
And we're out of time.
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.